Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations from the state of Pennsylvania today, although I'd like to see that change in the near future. Welcome to another edition of the WTF Files with Lewis Shoup. I am your host for today, Lewis Shoup. So, there's plenty of interesting WTFs here going on. Misconfigured firewall, for example. Capital One announced a data breach Monday affecting more than 100 million credit card applicants. I remember getting them in the mail myself, but I am not a subscriber. The massive breach could renew momentum for a federal data privacy standard, although past major breaches haven't proven enough to generate real movement. The alleged hacker, Paige Thompson, prompted many a head scratch in the information security world over her methods, which a criminal complaint revealed involved precautions like using Tor anonymous web surfing technology, but seemingly careless moves like dumping the information on GitHub. And there will probably be more of her in the near future. Another thing to keep in mind about this story with Capital One is that A, comma, this story is still evolving, and B, and this is the interesting part, all this data was stolen from a cloud server, supposedly an Amazon EC2 cloud instance. Cloud technology has potential for serious computational horsepower. This is why the push began so long ago with Beowulf clusters, something I kind of sort of used to be involved with back in the day. These Beowulf clusters were a precursor to modern cloud computing platforms, and the computational horsepower is very impressive when computers are ganged up together, but clouds are toxic. Clouds are toxic because our data goes up to the cloud and we lose all rights to it. I need to find the individual Supreme Court decision that I saw. This was somewhere around 2013 when the Edward Snowden revelations came out. At that particular time, one of the revelations was that anything uploaded to the cloud, a person doesn't have any more rights to that legally. I'll explore that topic in the near future. But that's something to keep here in mind with your credit information and everything else going to the cloud. It only takes one malicious actor. I don't call them a hacker. I call them a malicious actor. It only takes one malicious actor to ruin your day. Keep that in mind. In other WTFs, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell gave a fiery floor speech Monday to respond to some pundits deriding him as a Russian asset or un-American after the Senate GOP blocked multiple election security bills last week. McConnell has delighted in his role as the Grim Reaper who kills Democratic bills, and he typically hasn't objected to Trump leveling charges of treason and saying members of Congress should go back to the countries they came from. But McConnell said the accusations of traitorous behavior and similar language against him have gone too far, dubbing it modern-day McCarthyism. He touted his decades-long record of challenging Russia, his role in organizing a recent classified election security briefing, and policy differences with bills he says opposes over concerns about giving the feds too strong of a role in elections. Well, no fucking shit, Sherlock. People try to, you know, improve elections, and this motherfucking Russian asset is standing in the way. People need to get rid of this idiot. No, I take that back. He is not an idiot. He is a shrewd-ass motherfucker who's just as much a tool as Donald J. Trump. In other interesting WTFs, I was just talking about Georgia yesterday. So apparently, this escaped my notice until today. Georgia officials awarded a contract yesterday for 30,000 new voting machines to Dominion Voting on Monday, scrapping the state's 17-year-old electronic voting equipment and replacing it with touchscreens that print out paper ballots. The $107 million contract will switch Georgia from its longtime elections company, Election Systems and Software, following complaints about malfunctioning machines and unverifiable results during the November midterm election. The announcement is a defining moment for Georgia's election, reintroducing paper ballots to Election Day voting for the first time since the state converted to electronic ballots in 2002 following the controversial presidential election between Republican George W. Bush and Democrat Al Gore. Dominion, a Denver-based company, won the contract in large part because it offered Georgia the lowest cost system among three companies that submitted bids, according to evaluation score sheets that were released. Though ES&S scored higher on the government's criteria for a replacement voting system, Dominion came out on top when the price of its system was taken into account. Election officials now must quickly install the voting technology before its first statewide test during the March 24th presidential preference primary. The new voting system is expected to be quickly challenged in court by voters who say it remains vulnerable to hacking and tampering despite the addition of paper ballots. Now, let me talk some shit about Dominion voting. I have all manner of pictures to prove what I am about to say. They are still unreleased, I know. I really got to get around to releasing them. And perhaps I will do this in the near future when time permits. When I was at the voting machine show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania last year, Dominion was one of the respondents there, and I took plenty of pictures of what I consider their substandard hardware. The thing about the vulnerable to hacking and tampering, first off, it's exposed to Windows 10. Windows 10 is an operating system that is viral in nature and works against the interests of the user by recording and logging everything that you say and do on the damn thing, and uploads it to Microsoft, and God knows who else is sniffing the wire besides our own American NSA. If you're somewhere else in the world, it may be Russia sniffing the wire, or China, as they've got some pretty interesting tech in that department as well. So these Georgia is basically going from the frying pan into the fire, going with Dominion voting. Windows 10 is, in and of itself, got so many chock full of vulnerabilities, despite its impressive appearance. And I say that because I've actually been working with this recently. I actually had a customer. I do computer repair. I've been doing that for a very long time. But I actually had a customer come up to me and asked me to install Windows 10 onto their computer. Against my better advice and frustrations thereof, I actually did install it recently for the first time to somebody's toy. And I have to admit, I'm kind of sort of impressed. It was proactive, for example, when inserting USB drives only after certain updates were installed. I thought that was a very good idea, as opposed to the auto run feature. But there's just so much other stuff wrong with it. I have to save that for a separate series of WTFs that I intend to do down the road, as I will introduce video tutorials at that time. So, to continue onward. So, like Georgia's existing machines, voters will make their choices on touchscreen machines. But after picking their candidates, instead of tapping a button that says cast ballot, they'll click on a button that says print your ballot. The printer attached to the machine will then print a ballot on a full sheet of paper, which voters can then review for accuracy before inserting it into a scanner for tabulation. The paper ballots will be locked in a ballot box for retrieval as needed for audits and recounts. Before the contract was awarded, some voters speculated that the state would continue doing business with its current elections company, ES&S, which has close ties to Governor Brian Kemp's administration. Dominion has connections as well. One of Dominion's lobbyists, Jared Thomas, has worked on Kemp's political campaigns since he first won a state Senate seat in 2002. He also worked previously for Kemp in the Secretary of State's office. Another Dominion lobbyist, Barry Herron, was vice president of Diebold Election Systems, the company that originally sold Georgia its electronic voting machines in 2002. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, there's a nice name for you, said Dominion's voting system will protect Georgia's voters. Election security is my top priority, Raffensperger said in a statement. We look forward to working with national and local elections security experts to institute best practices and continue to safeguard all aspects of physical and cybersecurity in an ever-changing threat environment. Critics of these new voting machines, called ballot marking devices, said they fail to guarantee that votes are counted correctly. They prefer paper ballots filled out with a pen, not by a computer printer. Voter intent is best captured by a person marking on paper who they want to vote for, according to Joy Wasson, a concerned Atlanta voter. Printed out ballots will include the text of voters' choices, but scanning machines will read computerized barcodes to count ballots. Those barcodes is another major bone of contention. I'm involved with a verified voting group in an email list sponsored by the National Institute for Standards and Technology, and it's a major bone of contention in this email list as new voting system standards are being developed, and there's a lot of controversy behind this barcode reading and such. This is not ready for prime time yet, but I'll continue. Dominion said paper ballots will help ensure that computerized tabulations are accurate. Tabulation machines will also create a scanned image of each paper ballot as another way for election officials to verify that they're correctly counted. Election officials and voters alike can be assured they are using the most modern, accessible, and security-focused system on the market today, with paper ballots for every vote cast to ease auditing and ensure confidence in results, according to Dominion CEO John Poulos. Georgia, one of a handful of states that uses uniform voting equipment, will be the first where ballot marking devices will be rolled out for every Election Day voter. Dominion also provides similar voting systems in states including California, Colorado, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Gee, ain't that all the places where they have such voting trouble? I know they do here in Lehigh County, but I can promise you, at least here in Lehigh County, they are not Dominion. Dominion's election management system will run on Windows 10, mitigating concerns from election security advocates about voting systems that use Windows 7, an operating system that Microsoft will stop supporting with security patches starting at around January. The U.S. Election Assistance Commission certified this version of Dominion's voting system for federal elections in September. Again, Windows 7, it's already halfway pwned. Windows 10, fully pwned. They're missing the mark there. It needs to be free and open source, like Clear Ballot, for example, which to its credit uses Ubuntu, which is a popular Linux distribution and quite securable if the person knows what they're doing. So some of the fiercest opponents of Georgia's elections had a modest reaction to Dominion's selection. They were pleased that the contract didn't go to ES&S, but remained wary of computerized voting systems. The choice by the state is not as bad as it could have been, according to Lauren Groh-Wargo, the CEO of Fair Fight Action, which is suing the state over problems in the 2018 election. Today's announcement, however, does nothing to change the fact that hand-marked paper ballots are more secure than elections by machines. Democrats who were critical of Republicans' votes this year to buy new voting machines were also relatively subdued Monday. We have seen how fragile our digital voting system is. The replacement of ESNS is a critical step towards greater transparency and security in our elections, according to State Senator Gloria Butler, a Democrat from Stone Mountain, Georgia. I cannot overemphasize the importance of providing complete public education about the new machines. There needs to be sufficient time for voters to see, touch, and operate the machines. During the fall election, some voters reported that Georgia's old touchscreen recorded their ballots incorrectly. Voting equipment broke down, and the Georgia Supreme Court is reviewing a case alleging that tens of thousands of votes vanished in the race for lieutenant governor between Republican Jeff Duncan and Democrat Sarah Riggs Amico. Voting integrity advocates urge state legislators to switch to paper ballots filled with a pen rather than by a computer, but lawmakers said machine-marked ballots would be more accurate, familiar, and accessible to voters with disabilities. The General Assembly passed a bill this year that called for the state to replace its aging voting system with technology that creates a paper trail backup. Legislators appropriated $150 million for the new voting system, launching the competitive bidding process that ended with Monday's contract award for Dominion. Dominion's $107 million 10-year voting system comes in lower than the state's budgeted amount. The state can renew the contract for an additional 10 years afterward. The initial cost of the contract will be $89 million. The new voting system will see its first trial run in November during local elections in up to six counties before it's used statewide in the presidential primary the following spring. Unless, and this is a serious unless, the people who are suing to get these defective machines removed and replaced with something far more securable, like, say, paper ballots, you know, handwritten, they still work for the majority of us who can read and write. They need to think about that. What the fuck? Meanwhile, in North Carolina, election officials cited lingering concerns over election hacking in explaining why they again delayed certifying new voting machines for the 2020 election Monday. Trust and confidence in the security of any voting system that we put in place in North Carolina is absolutely vital, according to Stella Anderson, the board member who proposed the delay Monday night. The five-member board has a majority of Democrats, but the vote was bipartisan and not without controversy. Anderson and fellow Democrat Jeff Carman voted with Republican member David Black to delay the decision. The board's chairman, Democrat Bob Cordell, opposed the delay, as did Republican member Ken Raymond. Cordell and Raymond say the delay has them concerned about a time crunch. With Monday's vote, a decision wouldn't be made until at least mid-August, in order to provide the public ample notice of a new meeting. The voting machines used in about a third of North Carolina's counties will be certified at the end of this year. Cordell and Raymond said any further delays will harm the counties that need to figure out which new machines they want to use in 2020. We have counties that are looking at decertification of equipment, Raymond said. We have vendors who have been in this process for several years and have run a virtual gauntlet. For us to continue to delay it, I think that's not the right thing to do. But Carmen cited the Mueller Report's section on 2016 election hacking by Russian spies, which had led officials to believe North Carolina was at least targeted, if not actually hacked. Specifically, federal officials are investigating whether the software used to check in voters in Durham County in 2016 was hacked. This vote wasn't taken lightly, Carmen said. Our state's been in the news enough. Anderson, Black, and Carmen want to add new language to the state's rules specifying that any voting machines used in North Carolina shall produce human-readable marks on a paper ballot. That's in response to concerns raised by members of the public, including at a Sunday night meeting, that some of the machines in question would only produce a barcode printout, which most people would not be able to read to make sure that the touchscreen machine had correctly recorded the vote. And as I mentioned earlier in this show, barcodes can't be trusted simply because having access to a free and open source barcode reader program, for example, even an app on your phone, iPhone or Android, can independently prove that the barcode is what it should be. And to go on, the News and Observer reported recently that the three companies seeking certification, recertification, produce paper ballots, but one, Election Systems and Software, has a touchscreen system as well, which raised concerns on Sunday. The delays affect about a third of the counties in North Carolina that don't currently use paper ballots. All counties in the Triangle already use paper ballots, but voters in some of Northampton, Maybe it's because I'm having Bernie on the brain. A different Bernie, Bernie O'Hare. On his website, he's talking about voting machines. I'll talk about that later. So the delays affect about a third of counties in North Carolina that don't currently use paper ballots. All counties in the Triangle already use paper ballots, but voters in some of North Carolina's largest cities, including Charlotte and Greensboro, use the paperless touchscreen ballots that are losing their certification at the end of the year. Reverend T. Anthony Spearman, North Carolina's NAACP executive director, is from Guilford County and attended Monday's meeting. He said afterwards he considers the paperless machines to be atrocities. He is glad the state is making sure it takes every precaution in selecting a new machine. Spearman said the delay doesn't bother him since it's being done to address cybersecurity concerns. I am significantly pleased with the vote of the board, he said. Lynn Bernstein, a Wake County resident who has advocated for paper ballots, said after the meeting that she agrees with the vote to delay the decision. It allows North Carolina to have the most secure elections in the United States, she said. But Cordell, the board chairman, told the board he is worried about what the delay means for local officials scrambling to make arrangements for 2020. I think the counties are going to run into a real problem, he said. Wow, they got to get this shit all straightened out down there. They need to do it soon. And another interesting WTF, we have this Garlic Festival shooting that happened yesterday. Amid the screams, the flying bullets, and the bloodshed that erupted on a warm summer evening at the Gilroy Garlic Festival on Sunday, someone shouted a pivotal question at the gunman. Why are you doing this? He replied, because I'm really angry. According to Jack Van Breen, who spoke with reporters about performing at the festival with his band Tin Man. Little more is known about the motive of the shooter, whom authorities have identified as Santino William Legan. But on Monday, disturbing details began to emerge about the 19-year-old Gilroy native, including possible links to the white supremacist movement. The FAME festival was winding down when authorities alleged that Legan crept past a creek and cut through a fence, bypassing entrance security, while armed with an AK-47 rifle. Soon after, he began spraying attendees with gunfire, authorities said, claiming three lives and wounding a dozen people. Within a minute, Legan was shot and killed as three police officers arrived and fired at him with their handguns. Imagine that, good guys with the handguns show up, even if they are police. So that investigator spent the next 24 hours gathering evidence, serving search warrants, and scouring social media sites for clues of what led to the rampage. Before the attack, he posted a photo on Instagram with the caption, "Aye, Garlic Festival time, come get wasted on overpriced," using an expletive. He also posted a photo of a Smokey Bear sign warning about fire danger, with a caption instructing people to read an obscure novel glorified by white supremacists, Might is Right, published under the pseudonym Ragnar Redbeard. In his profile, which has since been deleted, Ligon identified himself as being of Italian and Iranian descent. The book, published in 1890, includes discredited principles related to social Darwinism that have been used to justify racism, slavery, and colonialism, said Brian Levin, director of Cal State San Bernardino's Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism. The notion that people of color are biologically inferior is a key tenet of his book, and that biological determinism, their Darwinian view of the world, justifies aggression against diverse people and vulnerable people, Levin said. Authorities say Ligon bought the semi-automatic rifle used in the shooting legally in Nevada on July 9th, less than 3 weeks before the shooting. The weapon looks like a military-style AK-47. With its standard clips and stocks, it's considered an assault rifle that is banned under California law. It's unclear if the shooter targeted specific people. The Nevada gun shop, Big Mike's Guns and Ammo, said in a Facebook post Monday that the buyer ordered the gun online. "When I did see him," he said, "he was acting happy and showed no reason for concern," the seller wrote, adding that he was heartbroken over the attack. "I would never, ever sell any firearm to anyone who acted wrong or looks associated with any bad group like White Power. Everyone is my brother and sister, and I am mourning for the families." California Attorney General Javier Becerra said Monday the investigation might determine that the gunman broke a law by purchasing the weapon in Nevada and bringing it into the state. "That weapon could not be sold in California. That weapon cannot be imported into the state of California," he said. "There is a very strong likelihood, as we develop the evidence, that the perpetrator in this particular case violated California law on top of the crimes of homicide." Ligon was originally from Gilroy and graduated from Gilroy High School in 2017. In a YouTube video that surfaced of his commencement, Ligon's full name is announced before he walks across the stage to receive his diploma. A district spokesperson declined to confirm that he attended and referred all media requests to the police department. The school district is offering counseling sessions for students, staff, and members of the community affected by the incident. Officers emerged from the Gilroy house, which sits less than 2 miles from the festival ground, carrying several paper bags. Later on Monday, investigators searched the vehicle the gunmen drove to the festival. Police said it was found on Laurel Drive, northwest of the park. So this guy, long story short, is turning out to be another white supremacist who is weaponized by all the hate talk on 8chan and Futoba and all those other deep, dark places. There's a serious WTF, because that's the kind of cancer that can eat a society from inside. Think about that in the coming days. Thank you for joining me here on the WTF Files with Lewis Shoup, and I will hopefully see you in the funny papers. And check out my GoFundMe. Thank you. Bye.